Hey there, South County Appliance Shoppers. It's Denise Bradley from Appliance Discounters letting you know that we have just relocated our original Webster Grove store to a much larger showroom located at 8045 Watson Road. We are still in the Yorkshire Village, just a few doors west of the old store. Our move from the original Webster Groves location has me reflecting on the last 5 years when we began our business in 2009 with one Frigidaire brand and have since grown to almost any brand you need. We are thankful for a full staff of trusted team members and are thankful every day for our Frigidaire partnership and customers.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug from the Vogel Heating and Cooling Studios on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Vogel Heating and Cooling Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSelvin Vaughn with you. Doug, we are in the intern Mike era now of the board.
He's in charge now. It's all his.
It's all his
little baby now.
I think he's doing fine. There was a little stumble right out of the gate, but he's been great ever since, and I'm expecting a groovy old time this morning.
Not bad with
right
the levers.
On the show.
Intern Mike, address the audience for the official start of Intern Mike era. This is Doug. This should be emotional.
I really do appreciate Andy giving me all the
and
guidance.
Why don't you turn your mic on? I think, and we're off. This is almost like one of those old school remotes we used to do, Timmy.
Now try it.
What? Oh.
Now try it.
There you go, buddy. Well, first of all, I want to thank Andy for all the help.
First, address the fact that it is the Michael era, and the mic was not on. Blame Willie or something.
I don't know.
You're going to fix it.
That's all I got.
All right.
Doug, that was pretty emotional.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
Pretty emotional. We're going to jump right into it today. I do want to talk about French fries for a couple minutes, but then Kevin Demoff is going to be with us at 7:10. So we'll get a chance to talk it over with the Rams COO here in a matter of moments. Looking forward to that. That is, it's 7:10. And then naturally the follow-up, that'll be Mr. Gary from Them Yo People.
Oh, he's on today, is he?
It's your guy.
Yeah, have you seen the show?
I have.
It's a nice presentation.
Did you book that, Doug?
No.
But you do know Mr. Gary.
He's the guy who does the interviews, right?
That's right. He's the host of Them Yo People.
That's right.
So he'll be with us at 8 o'clock. Another entertainment reporter audition at 8:30. And then Joe Drape, Doug. Real tomato ketchup, buddy?
No. What in the world?
What are you talking about, Tim? Who is this guy?
He's a writer for the New York Times.
Joe Drape. What does he write about?
Draperies.
We don't talk enough about draperies.
Can really make a room.
Yeah, they can. It's nice if they match the carpet.
Where are you going with that?
It's just interior decorating talk.
Many times when you're decorating a room, you want a focal point. Mm. And sometimes that focal point can be the draperies.
It can be, or fireplace, something like that. Yeah, a large piece of furniture. You betcha.
But you don't want to overdo it. Too much clutter, too much confusion. You don't want it to be complex. You want the beauty of the room to shine.
Now, do you hang your own draperies?
No.
You've never done that?
No.
Huh.
You can text it on draperies at 38822, draftday.com, text of the day. Email it in the morning after at insidestl.com. Willie, I don't know where the binder is. With my copy.
It's in my car. I need to go get it. I was going to wait for Kevin to call in, and I'll grab it.
But we're giving away a one-hour massage envy card.
Yes.
For the email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, DraftDay.com, fantasy team for the DraftDay.com text of the day. And you're always welcome to call in on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-8. Your mic's still open. 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. Kevin Demoff going to join us in a matter of moments here on the radio program. This is one of those interviews where people want us to scream at him. Some do, anyway. And then no matter what he says, some will say they're moving. And no matter what he says, some will say they're staying. The only losers, Doug, as usual, are us.
And the listening audience in general.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't anticipate that he's going to have a definitive answer for us this morning. I don't anticipate that we'll do a good job with
right,
the interview.
Right.
But I do respect the fact that he's willing to come on and deal with three juveniles as we try to outthink them, outsmart them, box them in, and get an answer, which we know probably won't come.
Well, I went to the University of Missouri. He only attended Ivy League schools.
Yeah.
So we
you
got
in the J school? Were you in the J school?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say J.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Don't say J school.
How do we trick them? Why don't we have Doug talk about fries and then, boom, hit him with it. Why are you moving?
Nice. Yeah, nice. That would catch him unawares. Ours is a type of program where the listening audience usually comes out on the short end of information and entertainment.
Doug.
Yeah.
Not with Larry Nickel on.
Nope.
He helps the situation some.
Truth is, if we weren't egomaniacs here,
right,
we'd, for the betterment of the show and for the enjoyment of our listeners, would have Larry interview Demoff, who Larry probably has a better shot at getting real information out of him.
There's a gentleman on our message board, the Inside STL message board, Doug.
Yeah.
This is one of the St. Louis media soft things. No one in the local media, including Jim Thomas, will ever ask and challenge Demoff. And I'm not talking about being rude. Just ask the questions that St. Louis football fans have the right to be answered. Populist take.
Mm-hmm.
Can win elections with that type of stuff. I'm sure Demoff will not go on other shows. And so I said, well, list the questions you'd like to be asked. I'll be happy to ask them. Doug, this is JP. Do you know JP?
Don't. No.
Oh, Jean-Paul. This is Jean-Paul.
Oh, I knew J.P. Brackman back in high school, but that's been years.
So these are the questions that we will not have the balls to ask. Is Stan willing to help build a new stadium in St. Louis? I don't have the balls.
I'm too scared to ask that.
Is he aware of the bad PR he has built with the loyal yet dwindling fan base because of his reluctance to communicate with the fans?
Let's shy away from that one.
This organization has put out such a crappy product. Again, not being rude. This organization has put out such a crappy product for every year, but three or four, and the communication between ownership and fans should be improved. Very basic. Are the Rams looking to move? I don't have the stones to ask that. Now I'm going to scream. I'm going to scream about a Chiefs game October.
The Rams on the move thing? I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
You don't have the chops.
Have you had a chance to play golf since the end of the offseason? Any travels?
Really seems like you guys are making steps forward.
That's how you do an interview.
Well, that's how we do it with Cardinal players.
Right.
We usually ask about the uniforms at some point.
Well, that absolutely will be asked.
We like the blue.
We're more fascinated by the five-year process. You could move a few different times if you wanted to, but to get a uniform approved, it takes 5 years.
Much
and
harder.
Nothing angers you more.
Much harder to get a new jersey than to build a new billion-dollar stadium and move an entire franchise.
They have to do impact studies.
Sure they do.
They have to do mock-ups of the jerseys. It takes time.
Couldn't you just say, hey, we have a new jersey. Oh, we wore it. People didn't like it. Okay, we'll wear something else. Done.
Well, we'll talk uniforms. Don't you worry.
Okay.
It is our pleasure right now to be joined on the Appliance Discounter phone lines by Kevin Demoff of the St. Louis Rams. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. Fries, drapes, what are we... Jersey.
Oh, you were not supposed to hear that.
We were hoping you were outside of a 10-mile radius of the radio station. Bad break for us. He was 9 miles out.
I'm a ham radio operator at heart, so this is perfect.
We appreciate you coming on the show anytime, and I know that there was a death in the family, so our condolences to you and your wife. And I know you had to make some travels, but for the record, because I had been tweeting and talking about on the show that you were going to come on the show from the moment the story broke in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Los Angeles Times regarding Stan Kroenke's purchase of the 60 acres in Southern California, and that is the reason for the delay. So as always, thank you for your communication behind the scenes, and thank you for coming on to the program.
I will only regret it in 20 minutes, right?
That's right. When we spend 15 minutes on the uniform.
Well, probably the second question in, you're going to regret it, I think.
Kevin Demoff, kind enough to join us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines and talking it over. So obviously, the impetus for my email a couple of weeks ago was that story in the Post-Dispatch and the Los Angeles Times. And naturally, Kevin, people see that, and many worry that this is the first sign that the Rams could be on their way to Southern California. What would you tell fans who, when they see that, are worried?
Well, you know, I think that this is a case where one and one does not always equal two. But this is a very sensitive topic. Really, since I joined the club in 2009, the arbitration, the first-tier clause, the lease, has been at the forefront of all the fans' minds. Aside from the winning product and getting a better football team, the lease has always been right there. And so anytime you read about a land purchase by Stan Kroenke, I think certainly it contributes to people's fears. Now, it's pure speculation about used for a stadium. I think the fear, you know, is something that people have created in their own minds. But I understand that this is always going to be the hardest year. This is the first year that the lease goes year to year. There is no certainty beyond, you know, March of 2015, and that's not a good place for fans, and it's not a good place for the club, to be honest. You would always prefer certainty in your operations than uncertainty. But at the end of the day, you know, we have done everything we can to communicate with the fan base, to be open, to improve the product, to improve our relationship, you know, with our season ticket holders, with our fans, with the St. Louis community, you know, with our partners, our sponsors throughout the 5 years that I've been here. And Stan is a large landowner, and this purchase fits in with his portfolio, you know, very nicely. And so I think overall, there are very good reasons to look at what we've done and said, you know, we're working to grow our fan base in St. Louis and to get people excited about the football product. There are good, very good reasons why Stan would buy the land way outside, you know, of any NFL interest. But I understand if you were to draw a Venn diagram, people would try to figure out, is there an intersection? There isn't an intersection, you know, as we see it.
Kevin Demoff, our guest here on CBS Sports 920. One of the elements that I thought fascinating as I'm trying to read the tea leaves, which of course can be dangerous, becomes a speculation fest, is that the land was purchased 17 days earlier than the story broke in both the Post-Dispatch and Los Angeles Times within an hour of each other. And it gave off the read anyway that it may have been intentionally leaked. Your thoughts on that?
You know, actually, and I've heard you speculate, Tim, there was the L.A. Business Journal was the first media outlet to kind of get a sense of the story. And it would make sense. They track real estate purchases. They print them every week. Same way if you pick up our St. Louis Business Journal, there's a list of the real estate that's been bought and sold. And so they were the ones kind of first looking around the story. You know, then I would presume all the protagonists who wrote the Post-Dispatch story and the L.A. Times story were in New York for the Super Bowl together. You know, once, you know, one group, you know, one media outlet was looking for the story and making some phone calls, I presume others got there as well. How the Post-Dispatch and Times wound up so close together, you know, was somewhat of an anomaly because the LA Business Journal then wrote a large story on Friday about the exact same topic, much more in depth, I think, than the other two. So I think this is one of those things where once the story became out, you know, it was clearly in public record. There was no hiding it. It became a race to the finish, and you know, the Post-Dispatch and Times, you know, got there pretty closely. We confirmed the story on Friday morning. So that's one of those in this era of internet, Twitter, you know, Facebook, and good journalism. I think all three were on top of the story pretty quickly.
Kevin, because of the uncertainty, fans that want the Rams to stay, I would put myself in that group, live or die with any little nugget that could indicate the future of the Rams one way or the other. And the criticism of the Rams, particularly Stan, is that you guys aren't saying enough to let fans know, look, we want to stay here. We will do everything we possibly can to stay here. Do you think that criticism is fair?
I think people always want to hear more, whether it's from Jeff Fisher, where they want to hear more from Les Snead about the draft. They want to hear more about Jeff Fisher, about what defense we're going to run. You know, in this age, people always want to hear more. And I think the one thing that I always say to that is point to one action this club has taken in our efforts in St. Louis to not prove that we don't want to be here. And that may be a double negative. But when you look at everything we do from being involved in the community. We hosted the St. Patrick's Center trivia event last Friday night at Rams Park. This Friday, we're out at Hardy's Rise and Shine in St. Louis. Our entire staff will be out distributing biscuits to help heat up St. Louis. And in December, Salvation Army bell ringing, the number one bell ringing group in St. Louis, the most powerful, raised the most money. And then when you look at everything, last night we announced that we're not raising ticket prices this year. We've grown our preseason television product. Point to one thing. I think the hiring of Jeff Fisher and the investment we've made in the coaching staff and, you know, being at the cap the past few years, I don't think you can point to anything and say there are any efforts or this club is not trying to grow its fan base and win. I understand the point of everybody wants to hear, you know, the magic words, but you also have to look at this in the big picture. We have a short-term stadium solution right now that I don't think is very tenable, you know, for anybody. Long-term, you know, we need to find a way to get a better fan experience and a better building for St. Louis, and if that's going to take a little bit of pain, I think it's well worth the outcome. And I think one of the things that we've always looked at is this is going to get harder before it gets easier. These situations always do. And as it relates to Stan Kroenke, I don't think, you know, this is not someone who is always out in front and outspoken, and on this issue, he's being reserved. Stan's way he operates, he hires what he considers to be the best people, you know, myself probably excluded, and then you go and you let them do their job. And so you hire Jeff, you hire Les, you let them do their jobs. You know, it's not if we're 4-0, you know, Stan's going to be out there taking credit for everything that's happened. This is someone who operates behind the scenes. It's that way with our clubs, it's that way with his clubs in Denver, it's that way with his soccer team. That's the way he prefers to operate. So would the public or our fans love to say, you know, hear more? Yeah, I'm sure they would love to hear updates every day. They do hang on every nugget, and I always wish the nuggets were positive. But whenever we give positive nuggets, in the next week or so, probably I'd say by the end of the month, we're going to announce that we're spending millions to upgrade the concessions at the Edward Jones Dome, essentially coming, you know, primarily from the Rams' pocket. You know, the CVC is upgrading the sound system. We're looking at upgrading the cell service in the building together. We're looking at upgrading the Wi-Fi in the building together. We've had really positive discussions with the CVC on all of those topics. Those are good nuggets that you could hang your hat on, but they all get tossed aside because people only want to hear what they want to hear.
So you think it's unfair, some of the criticism that you guys get for the handling and not being responsive enough in the eyes of some fans?
I don't think it unfair is not fair. I think it's because, look, at the end of the day, the public gets to judge how we handle it. But this is not a PR story, and I think that's always one of the things that is a little bit misguided in this. This is not something that you're going to get positive PR for, right? This is a complicated discussion on how we improve, you know, a major stadium venue in St. Louis. It involves a lot of moving elements. It involves what kind of subsidies go to sports teams, where should taxpayer dollars go, how much, you know, should owners kick in. These are complicated topics, whether it's St. Louis or anywhere else. I would say St. Louis has a much different outlook on it because they are one of the cities that this situation went wrong the first time. Our fans are already children of divorce in many snippets, so when they see mom and dad arguing a second time, they automatically assume they could get divorced again. And so when I look at that, I think unfair is not the right word. I just think that people are predisposed to see the worst of this situation rather than to let the cards play out.
Is there any movement at all going on right now towards a possible new stadium being built in St. Louis?
Yeah, I will say the nice takeaway from, you know, the news of the past few weeks is there's a lot more interest from civic leaders and a feeling of what can we do in the past 2 weeks than I've heard in the previous 3 years. And, you know, one of the things the stadium situation is a new one. I joined the club in 2009. It was on the forefront of everybody's mind. We went through the arbitration. We went through the first-tier process. You know, ironically, the news this year broke the Thursday before the Super Bowl. Last year, the arbitration decision came out the Friday before the Super Bowl. So very similar timing, you know, when you look back upon the year. But I think there's been a lot of renewed interest and spirit from civic leaders to try to figure out how we can solve this problem. I'd say the one thing, you know, even though it doesn't seem like a lot of time, you know, the next 13 months is a lot of time. It's a lot of time, you know, to have discussions, to figure out, you know, how we can progress and make movements. You know, it's not as if the Edward Jones Dome implodes March 31st, 2015. It doesn't just magically, you know, disappear. You know, it can be viable on a year-to-year basis. I think we all want to see a long-term vision so these questions can go away forever. I get, you know, this is not what everybody wants to spend their time working on, messaging around the stadium. I'd like to be working on the stadium and trying to work on, you know, where we can go and building it and looking at designs and figuring out how we can get your new jerseys, yes, you know, in the new team store, yes, you know, in the stadium. But I think fans have the right to be concerned, you know, when you're talking year to year. But I think that's because fans have great passion for this team. They see a team that's playing better football over the past few years and is getting better. You know, they want to see the peak of this, and I want to make sure that we can deliver for it.
Kevin Demoff's our guest right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. Kevin, Jim Thomas of the Post-Dispatch reported that Jay Nixon's calls to Stan Kroenke were not being returned. Is that accurate?
That report doesn't make any sense, and I've talked to Jim about it. We've had lots of ongoing discussions with the governor's office. I know, you know, the relationship between the governor and Stan predates long before going back to the University of Missouri. So, you know, there's something a little bit off in that report, given the constant, you know, dialogue. But if I remember Jim's report, it was Jim had spoken to a source who had spoken to a source in the governor's office, and things can get lost in translation. Believe me, if the governor were to call and say we want to sit down, I think we would be very receptive to try to figuring out how we can all work together and hear what they have to say.
Are you aware in terms of Stan's day-to-day how much interaction he has with the folks that are trying to get something done? Does he spend much of his time on that, or is it something that he lets other people handle?
You know, Stan, when you look at the way this operates, and you know, if it's going to be part of Stan's real estate business, there's certainly people along with Stan who will handle that. If it comes in through the Rams, we handle it along with Stan. There are a lot of different, you know, businesses in which Stan operates and in which he has different people running. So I think it would just depend on the bucket in which it flowed into.
If everything were to go perfectly for the Rams, where would you be in 5 years? What do you want exactly? A new stadium, a renovated dome?
What? You know, I think, you know, 5 years, if you look at a timeline of how long it takes to get stadiums from concept to development to discussion to being there, you know, I think you'd want to be, you know, for me, I love the concept of playing outdoors. I think for many fans, and we've had a lot of season ticket holder luncheons where we ask this exact question and raise your hand, and you know, usually you wind up split between the city and the county, outdoor and indoor. I think everybody would like a retractable roof, but there's obviously, you know, a sizable cost that comes along with doing a retractable roof. And I think everybody has to determine whether that is best for, you know, St. Louis and for the Rams, or whether it's something that just say, hey, we've got to make a decision like Minnesota, it's a roof, you know, or whether we just go outdoors. I love playing outdoor football. I think it's the best way to play. The weather here to me is not so severe that it wouldn't make a difference. Plus, you know, outdoors make your clubs and suites a little bit more valuable when it's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. So that never upsets me.
Yeah, but a new stadium is really where you're thinking. You're not thinking about this $700 million renovation plan of the dome?
Well, I think there are two different angles on that. When we went through the first tier arbitration, the whole goal of the arbitration is what does it cost to upgrade the Edward Jones Dome? It's not about building a new stadium. It's not about what the other opportunities in the world are. It's what makes this building first tier. And when we went through with the architects who are building Minnesota Stadium right now, who built Lucas Oil, you know, they went through and they said, these are the improvements that need to be made. And, you know, arbitrators agreed, you know, with us and agreed with our architects. You know, I think the one thing that came through very clearly after the arbitration is not an appetite, you know, from civic leaders or for fans to spend a lot of money upgrading the current building. And I think that, you know, dates to the fact that this building is a compromise building. It's half convention hall, half Rams stadium. I think everybody would prefer to see the convention center get that space, what they want for conventions, and make it exactly what they want, and get a new stadium that can once again vie for Final Fours, Mizzou, Illinois, get those kind of events back in the building. It's great to see One Direction coming in, you know, this summer, you know, with the upgraded sound system. We're working to bring international soccer back this summer. I think you want to get a building that can host all of those events and help put St. Louis back on the map, competing the way an Indianapolis does or the way a Minneapolis does.
Rams CEO Kevin Demoff right now on CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. How often do you communicate with Stan Kroenke, Kevin?
Multiple times a day.
Is that right?
So very often, just enough to make sure that everybody knows he's engaged and involved. And, you know, right now, the majority of our communication surrounds the number two pick. So, you know, it's an exciting time in that regard.
Is Stan willing to help build a new stadium in St. Louis financially?
I think all owners that, you know, when you look at the way the finances of stadiums work, there's a public contribution, there's a private contribution, and if you apply through the NFL, there's an NFL contribution. So, you know, I think anybody to make something work would be willing to look at all options. But, you know, I also think at the end of the day, there is a significant gap between what we looked at in the arbitration and I think what some other stadiums that have come online have really been.
When you go to the coffee shop or stop by the convenience store in the morning, do Ram fans hit you up with questions about this? I mean, can you get away from this at all when you're out in public?
You know, first of all, no one recognizes me, which is always a nice way to go to the coffee shop.
That goes for us, too, just so you know.
You know, what I think some people ask this, you know, occasionally you get the, you know, the team staying, and you know, But the majority of fans always talk football. You know, and that's one of the hard parts right now is this is somewhat of a dead period in football. Once the combine starts up in 10 days, people will be focused on the combine, and the number two pick, the number 13 pick will get into free agency, and people will be, you know, asking us who we're going to sign, who we're going after, you know, what pie in the sky free agents we can get. We can sign $3, $10 million free agents, I'm sure. So, you know, then you get into the draft and you get into OTAs, and it takes a natural cycle. But the period between the Super Bowl and the combine is always a dead period, and that's exactly, you know, where we sit today. But you know, I think our fans, the one thing, the ones who ask, you know, they ask because they love the Rams, and there's never any issue with that. And I'd rather our fans be, you know, concerned than apathetic. And I've seen much more concern than apathy over, you know, the past few weeks. But I think at the end of the day, most people realize that, you know, they like what we're doing with the football team. They like what we're doing with the fan experience. We're not perfect on either yet. We've got to, you know, make a breakthrough in both areas to get to make sure that we have a great fan experience, you know, at the Edward Jones Center currently, and that we put a great product on the field. That's where all of our efforts are. They understand the business side. They don't like it. They may not be their first choice. I think everybody would prefer that this was a much smoother process. But I think everybody understands that this is the way stadium debates go.
How concerned are you that there's a sizable chunk of the Rams fan base that now seems resigned to the fact that the team wants out? It could affect attendance this fall. They haven't really heard the owner stand up and say, don't worry, we're working on something. That has to be a concern.
You know, I wouldn't say it's really a concern. Our job is to put a great product on the field and make people want to come. To me, when I look at Rams fans, you know, people think the last three season ticket holder luncheons I did in January, the first question asked was about the stadium each time. Ironically, the second question was jersey, so you guys must be infiltrating the fan base, you
yes.
know, pretty quickly.
Hmm, but like a virus.
Stadium issue has been on people's minds ever since I've come to St. Louis in 2009. So, and we've grown our attendance essentially each year, with the exception of 2011, since then. So, you know, I think people want to see good football. They understand this is a process. If we continue to play, you know, better football, we've had a winning record at home. Last year we had a winning record at home in 2012. It's the first time since 2003 and 2004 we've had back-to-back winning records at home. I'm not saying that's some kind of medal for achievement, but I do think it's important to say that the product we put on the field has been compelling. Last year we were 5-3 at home. We had finished with three double-digit wins over, you know, the Bears, the Saints, and the Bucks. Beat four winning teams at home. I think fans were entertained last year if you went to the games. That's first and foremost. You know, everything else, I think people realize, you know, they will get a say, and ultimately, you know, they can come up in the coffee shop, they can email me, you know, through the season ticket email, or they can talk on Twitter, all of those things, they're going to voice their opinion. But at the end of the day, this is about NFL football, it's about playing winning football, and I have no doubt if we do our job, no matter what the noise of the stadium is, the fans will show up and be excited about the product.
Kevin, I know you got to go, but I think I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you at least one question about Michael Sam, his announcement, and how you think his announcement will affect his place in the draft, and whether or not it would affect the way you guys would go about looking at him as a prospect.
You know, I think they're two very different questions. The one, I don't think it will affect his place in the draft at all. I think that that's where society's at. I think that's where the NFL's at. But at the end of the day, our first question about draft prospects are can they play? And I think anybody who lived in Missouri last year, who watched Michael Sam, knows that he can play. Now, the questions about where he plays in the NFL, how he plays, that's what this draft process will be about. And I think the discussions in draft rooms over the next 3 or 4 months will be about, is he a 4-3 defensive end? Is he a designated pass rusher on third down? Is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? Can he be a 4-3 linebacker? That's going to be all of the questions that scouts ask. To me, what you saw over the past week is a man of tremendous character, of tremendous conviction, who took a very brave stance and, you know, clearly has the intangibles to succeed both in football and in life. So if there were concerns about how we can handle the attention, I think he did a fantastic job. I think we all look at it, you know, that way. And I know in our discussions within our building, it's about, can he help us rush the passer? And if there's someone who can help us rush the passer, I promise you, Jeff Fisher, Mike Waffle, and Greg Williams will be jumping on the table for him.
That's Kevin Demoff, Rams COO. We were told you had some business to tend to around 7:30. We've already keeping you past your time, so we can't spend a half hour on uniforms. Doug and I would like to do that.
We'll talk about it amongst ourselves.
There is no uniform update. However, you know, I've tasted a lot of new French fries for the new concessions, and I promise you those will be very good.
Wow. Check out the fries at Monty's. You might want to put those in the dome. That's the official fry of the morning after.
Bring some of the front office over to Monty's. Yep. Best fries in St. Louis.
Nice.
I will make sure we do so.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy. Kevin. That's Kevin Demoff with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports 920 and InsideSTL.com. Your reactions to what the Rams COO had to say, 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808, and text in at 38822, the appliance discounter phone lines, and the draftday.com text inbox. Your thoughts. I'm curious what people are saying. I've tweeted out a number of his answers throughout the course of the interview. Gentlemen, we'll go to calls. We'll go to texts. First off, your thoughts.
I understand his plight, and I commend him for coming on and trying to answer the questions. He talks about uncertainty, and it's out there, and I believe the Rams would like to stay, but they don't know if they can stay financially and from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
That's what I take.
It doesn't appear that there is an answer just yet on what's happening to the Rams. That's the question you get every day is, are the Rams moving? I don't think anybody, including Stan Kroenke, knows that answer right now. Until everything plays out here with the stadium, until everything plays out in L.A., I don't think anybody knows right now.
Well, one of the things that I thought was most discouraging over the last week to 10 days was Jim Thomas's report that from sources he had spoken with, that Jay Nixon's phone calls to Stan Kroenke were not being returned. And to quote Kevin Demoff, he said that report just doesn't make any sense. But he then said, if Jay Nixon were to call, it wouldn't make any sense for us to not sit down with him. So although that wasn't perhaps intentional, it seemed subtle in the sense that if there was an initiative to get together and sit down, that they would be receptive, which therefore, if I'm reading between the lines, and again, it's a speculation fest, which isn't fair, but for the purpose of just conjecture here, then that would indicate that they haven't called.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. To me, the striking thing is that, and we address this, but there's so many little tells, every nuance of the story, everyone jumps on and tries to read the tea leaves to try to find out where they're going to go. And as I said, and as Doug said, I don't think they know yet.
No, you would think that they would be in some conversation with the government leaders and the governor. I mean, if Nixon were to call and say, we'll take care of the stadium for you, wouldn't you want to take that call?
Well, if the Rams beat reporter, who has a lot of credibility in the marketplace, reports that Jay Nixon's calling and he's not getting calls back, I don't say, well, nobody knows what's going to happen. Of course, nobody knows what's going to happen, but that's not a response to that report, which is a significant report. Reading tea leaves is one thing. A beat reporter.
Kevin said it was like third. He said he got it from league sources that might not know, as I recall. That's what Kevin said about that. You know, that it might not really be a story.
I believe he said he got it from sources in the governor's office, and he says it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't say that that's not true.
Right, he didn't say
sense. That. Difference also. Chris, you're first up here on the appliances counter phone lines.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
What's up?
Average.
Yeah, same here. He really didn't say much of anything, once again.
What would you have liked to have heard him say, realistically?
Realistically, he can't say, because Stan won't allow him to say. Basically, he's Stan's right-hand guy, so he's the face of Stan here in St. Louis, is what I always get out of Kevin Demoff. Guy tries to do a good job. Blah blah blah, but it's like his poor hands are tied. You know, I think he knows a lot more than he's telling us, obviously. But I heard his interview last night. Same thing he said today, that there's more civic leaders here in St. Louis standing up wanting to throw in money for the stadium. Well, who are these people? Why aren't these people speaking? Why isn't Kroenke speaking? If he is talking to Governor Jay Nixon, why isn't Nixon talking and returning Jim Thomas's phone calls and vice versa?
Do you think they already are leaning toward moving or have decided to move, and they're just not saying it yet?
No, I don't think they're moving. I think this is a bunch of BS that Stan wants to get what Stan wants. I don't think they're moving. I don't.
Chris, thank you for the phone call.
No, I don't think these deals get done in the media either. I mean, if corporate leaders are talking about supporting a new stadium, they're not going to tell anybody about it. It'll just happen. We'll hear it when it's done. We don't hear the process along the way.
From a business standpoint, I totally agree. It can't help to have details of whatever agreement can be reached out in the paper for people to pick at the seams.
Right.
Those things are usually done behind closed doors.
Yeah.
I understand that. I just hope that it's not some massive deception, and deep down they're thinking, yeah, the team would be more valuable in L.A., and that's what they're looking at. I don't believe that's the case.
I just can't help but think that the fans are going to need a little something from Stan Kroenke before the start of the 2014 season. A little stand up and say, yes, we really want to be in St. Louis and we're exploring all options to stay here before they jam that Edward Jones Dome 10 times next fall. I think there's a lot of people very skeptical about the Rams right now and very worried that this is going to be the end of the last year here, and that why should I go and support the team that's going to leave as soon as the season's
Don't
over.
You agree that diehard Rams fans live or die by any piece of news that could indicate which way the team is heading?
And right now, I'm not sure they've been given much hope that this team is anything but doomed in St. Louis. We don't hear of any stadium talk. We don't hear of any renovation of the Dome talk. We hear L.A. talk. We hear nothing going on in St. Louis. I think they better give the fans a little something, a little bit of a positive nugget to chew on before the start of next season.
So you're saying, you're calling for Stan Kroenke to come on this radio show before the start of the season and say his piece?
Well, yeah, we'd love to.
You're calling for the owner of the Rams, Stan Kroenke, to come on this show?
Well, I don't program this show, but I would think that he would always be welcome to come on this show.
Sometimes Willie has booked Dennis Hoff.
You know, one or the other. We have a three-hour show.
Usually spend like 2 hours with Dennis, though.
Yeah. I'd love to have Stan Kroenke on this show.
All right. Stan, you have an open invite. We'll bring in some fries. We'll sit down and we'll talk it over.
Do you think the Rams can just continue right now with this PR plan and have that work out well for them?
Well, if they don't really know where they're going, okay, and they're trying to cut the right deal for them, I understand why they're not saying anything. Now, should the owner come out before the season just to reassure his fan base that they are working to try? Yes, there's no question. But I understand why there's not a lot of details coming out
from that
side. I
think even if he were to just come out and say, this is what we'd like, this is what we're looking for, this is what we hope we can put together in St. Louis, just that would give the fans some hope that it's not hopeless. But we don't even get that.
I understand why he doesn't do interviews. I could see issuing a statement. That's what I would do. That way you control the message, you issue the statement, you don't expose yourself to questions where you can't give an answer that you would be on the record for the rest of your life that could, with your actions in the next couple of years, be contradicted. Issue a statement, something along the lines of what you were just saying, and at least there's communication. It's better than nothing. I understand I'm not doing interviews. Completely understand it.
See, to me,
I wish he would, but I understand why he isn't.
And I totally understand that, too. If he were a member, J.H.E., gosh, he'd be
J.H.E. would say, don't do interviews. 100%.
No.
100%. J.H.E. would be 100% right.
I would have him do one in a controlled situation.
With a rights holder.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I do think from a PR standpoint, to have a guy, you know, who they call Silent Stan, who's never around, I think there's an upside. Now, you don't want to show all your cards, and you go into the interview saying there's certain things I can't talk about. But I would have him do one and try to get his face out there saying, I hear you, Rams fans. We appreciate the support.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I can say about it. We'd like to stay.
I think they need to. If this team starts out 0-3 next year, and the big topic of conversation is, well, this is the last year, they could move, could be in L.A. next year, that place is going to be empty. It's going to be empty. They had games this year where there couldn't have been 40,000 people in the building.
From the 314, quit taking callers. Rams fans or Hoosiers? That gets from the 314.
We're Hoosiers.
Michael, you're on CBS Sports 920.
Yeah, good morning. I'm not sure why all the negativity goes towards the Rams in this situation. The whole deal with the dome was a contract with the city with the lease agreement, and the city itself didn't keep up its end of the bargain. It tried to play the martyr that the Rams, after being here for, 12, 15 years, said, okay, now you have to give us this top-tier stadium, when it was supposed to be making improvements the entire time and didn't really hold up to the incident of the bargain, and then wanted to cry foul when the Rams said, well, you didn't keep up your end, we're out. But at the same time, Sam's not going to leave when he has a free building here, and I think that's where everybody overlooks. Nowhere in this country is he going to get the free room that he has. So, I mean, it's posturing on his part, but at the same time, when is St. Louis itself, whether it be the business community or the government, going to step up and say, hey, you know what? We screwed up. This is what we were supposed to do. Now we're going to pay for it. So, thank you. I'll shut up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Mike. I think that's a fair point. But again, if you're the fans and it's a guy, Stan Kroenke, who has a lot of money, who doesn't live here, he's an easy target to say, you know, he's to blame when, you know, the improvements weren't made and the Rams are doing what they should, following the lease.
Yeah, and just nice terms on a lease might not trump having your franchise in Los Angeles as opposed to St. Louis. The value of the Rams franchise might double with a move to Los Angeles. So that would probably offset what you're getting with a sweetheart lease deal.
From the 314, LOL, awesome. From the 609, Doug, give Daddy the old spanking. My goodness, his diaper is a mess. Italian man 559.
Where, I'll tell you what, man. Where is my
He's new.
Well, I think yours. I left my logbook in the car. I'll
what a shocker. I gave you 12 hours before you lost that thing. I would like to go on the record that I predicted this, and now you'll be shocked by the fact that you lost.
I'll have it here for the next segment. What's the name on that one, Tim?
Italian man 559.
Italian man 559. He has been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Not official until it goes into the antique book.
Doug, you will be hosting tomorrow with producer Joe and Willie the next 2 days, so make note of that for your suspension purposes. I think the texts will be even more vile.
Well, they
they'll probably
be
directed toward producer Joe.
There's one way to handle that. We just don't read them. Huh. How do you like me now, fellas?
Yeah, but you won't be running the point. Joe will.
Well, Joe won't read them.
Can I read them?
No.
Can I interact with
them? There's no point having vile text.
What if I don't tell you what they say, but I just interact with them like usual?
That would be okay.
Okay. I have permission.
You can just have your comeback without the vile message. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not vile back to them. I usually assume when they're sexual advances that it's a female sending them.
I do too.
Just, you know, so as you say, thank you, ma'am, or whatever.
All right. Well, thank you, Willie.
Yes. We'll have a fun time the next 2 days, don't you think?
All right, but don't raise your voice like that.
What do you want to do?
When, tomorrow?
Or Friday.
I just take calls the whole time.
Are you doing show planning on the air when we never show plan at all for this one, and you're going to use this show to show plan for the next couple days?
It is kind of funny you bring that up because people visited us at Bass Pro yesterday, and I was pouring some samples at the Bush in a chair. We had some lovely, lovely fans come out.
Did you say you were pouring in a chair?
Sometimes, or standing up, or sitting on a cooler. I was in a few positions. Yes.
Did you have a lot of beer out there?
I did not. I had some. I sampled.
It's good, isn't it?
It's not bad.
No, it's
not
good. Bad.
Apparently, you had a few samples, I was told.
Yes, I had many.
Many samples. But people were very curious what goes into the preparation of this program.
Why would they be curious about that?
That was the most common question.
There's none.
That's what I said.
You also invented a new word, this.
Well, my example was not to say that there is no preparation whatsoever. I mean, some of us are up in early, reading stories, watching the news, whatever. But at the same time,
who among us is up early when we come reading
in
stories?
Here, Tim is. I know Kat's in the back. Doug, I see you out there on your phone. I assume you're reading stories, preparing for the show.
Doug, all I can say to you is Godspeed.
Like 3 minutes.
But there is no group meeting where we get together and be like, all right, this is how we're going to talk about this Ram situation. This is how we're going to talk about this Michael Sam situation. No, we all just kind of sit down and just go at it.
Oh, don't say that. That can only lead to trouble.
That's me. And I used the perspective of when I filled in for Tim going back a few weeks. That's how it was. We'd sat down and we talked about maybe last night's events or today's events or the hot topic and gave passionate takes, but for the most part, there was no discussion of what we're going to talk about next.
No.
And I like it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Bingo. Well, that was a fun day at Bass Pro Shops.
A lot of people. As a matter of fact, at 8 o'clock, we are giving away, we have this raffle for the attendance prize yesterday. Doug, I'd say, I don't know how many, a few hundred tickets in here. Yeah. And somebody's going to win Cardinal tickets, Blues tickets, Billiken tickets, Paramore tickets, Fall Out Boy tickets, and Motley Crue tickets when we do a drawing at 8 o'clock.
The same guy wins everything?
Aye.
Oh, there's not the one guy gets the Cardinal tickets and one guy gets the... Oh, my word.
Yep. We had a nice turnout there at Bass Pro Shops yesterday. So thank you to the entire CBS Sports 920 and Inside STL staff for executing a remote that only had two drops the entire time. The streaming is now up and fixed permanently, I understand. Doug, the lever was off?
That has been the issue in the past, is a broken or malfunctioning lever.
And then also giving away the samples of the all-new Bush signature.
People like that. People did. They enjoyed it. I'm not always the biggest fan of Big Al. Sometimes I'm sideways with him.
He was there early in the morning.
Give
him
a tip of the cap because
my wife informed me that he was also there at 5 at night.
Was he? He wore a costume, he brought in fishing poles, and he brought Doug some Cialis. So, Big Al, good job. Can't ask for more than that out of a listener.
Does he live out that way? Did he say he live out in St. Chuck?
I don't think we need to ask that question.
Oh, you're pretty certain that he does?
I'd move a heavy amount of action in that direction. Let's see. Guys, did you pep rally?
Did we pep rally? Like before the show, we get together and have a little rally?
I don't know. I'm just reading the text.
They did that at Bass Pro, didn't they? Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
The employees got together.
Motivational.
Oh, yeah. Like yeah. Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, Woof of Wall Street. Yeah. From the 314, thank you for turning me on to them, yo people. It's terrific. Can't wait to hear from Mr. Gary. Mr. Gary is going to be our guest coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Intern Mike, who is running the board today, it is the first era of the Intern Mike administration. Your first audio postcard, I understand you have some them, yo people. Doug would like to hear it.
I would.
Now, you're sitting at that Renaissance, and they told us last night, they say, Mr. Gary, come get your people, because they turn this hotel up. These young people are break dancing, and they twisting and shouting. Was that you?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
Guilty as charged.
Oh,
I'm not going to
front. Hold on just 1 second. Them, your people, live on the streets of St. Louis. Now, how y'all doing? What's your name?
Bunk quick.
You heard it. She bunk quick, quick. Them your people, bum quick, quick, baby. It don't get no better than that.
Doug, that's Mr. Gary. He's going to be our guest in about 15 minutes here on the program.
He's become quite a star.
Them your people is the program on KDNL, ABC 30, 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
Have you watched the whole thing yet?
I have.
It's good, isn't it?
Them your people.
It's kind of like, who was that? Pete Parisi used to have a show.
Worldwide Magazine.
Yeah.
That was a great show,
similar
too.
To that. Yeah.
I think the best part about it is I don't think a lot of the people that he interviews really realize that they're on camera. And so
is this a hidden camera show in terms of?
No, I don't think it is, but
they just don't see the camera.
Well, they just don't know that it's going to be broadcast on TV and YouTube.
Nice. Doug, why don't we go out and do some Man on the Street interviews? Me, you, and Larry Nichol will go out there.
I'm pressed for time. Larry could do some good.
Hello, guys. This is Larry Nichol.
Right there, a little issue with the mic, but if we can get that fixed.
Vox Pops, they call that. Voice of the people, Vox Pops.
Ooh, that's very Latin.
Yeah, that's industry talk there. A little peek behind the curtain. You're welcome.
From the 618, last night, me and Doug got at it.
You got a name on that one, Tim?
Yeah, 618-910-82.
618-910-82. You, sir, have been suspended. You're wondering for how long. The answer is 2 days' time.
From the 314, when is the damn audio going to be up? Doug, I just caused my toilet to explode from a morn wreck. Will you wipe my mess up?
That's inappropriate question. Awful. We just had Kevin Demoff on.
I know. I thought the listeners
were... I'm really embarrassed to be a part of this.
Maybe I'll try and double up. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
The cat and I are leaving after the show. We're going down to Florida for Cardinals spring training 2014.
You see Ryan Franklin, tell him to say hi.
Will we see Ryan Franklin, the cat?
I will text him and find out.
All right,
the
there
show.
You go.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey, is Tim here? Ask for Tim again.
Hey. Here hey, Tim.
Yes, yes.
Love that.
I can't wait Friday.
Doug, Friday is going to be a pony show.
What's happening Friday, Mike?
Huh?
No, what's happening Friday, Mike?
Got a date with Penny.
Oh, you got a date with Penny this Friday.
And Sarah.
Both of them.
Oh, a little menage a trois. Hmm?
And I asked you to tell me to say don't go out with them.
MFF situation?
No, Ashley, the new girl I got working at your radio station.
Yeah, yeah, I met Ashley here at the station last Friday.
She told me, she said, don't go out with them.
Oh, she fit to be jelly.
Yeah.
She's jealous of these other gals, is she?
Yeah, I got her, too.
Ball so hard.
Man.
So I got Ashley, too.
How do you do it, Mike? How do you get these women to all fall in love with you?
I don't know. Hey, Clint. Yeah, I don't know.
What happened there? What happened?
Hey,
what happened there, Mike?
I don't know. I'm lucky. Got that girl.
Yeah. Multiple.
And who, are
you, who are you yelling at there behind you?
Hey, I can't wait Friday.
What's happening Friday?
You know, I'm going to buy a flower for a penny.
Oh. What sort of flowers will you buy her?
I don't know, some flower.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And what about the other girl? She's going to feel left out if you have flowers for Penny, but not for Sarah?
I'll give her some. And I asked these days, don't go out with them.
She fit to be chally. Well, Mike, the nice thing is that we all have stories.
That is nice. That is nice. Ouch! What's your take? Tim, you're a guy who I think you have to read your opponent in poker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Tim!
It's my favorite thing on the whole show. Except when Doug breaks down a team that he doesn't know about. That's number one. It seems to me that Mike is hoping that Penny is jealous. But he says, I hope she's not jealous. I hope she's not listening.
Right.
Am I wrong? Is that a tell? Do you think he's enjoying that?
That's his turn on, Doug. That's what gets his engine revved up.
Somebody's a player.
You are pretty good, my friend. And you're gonna be displaying your talents for 2 days with Wee Willie and producer Joe tomorrow.
That's fine. They're fabulous broadcasters. And you're going to be traveling? It's going to take you 2 days to get there with the snow they got.
I'm not leaving until tomorrow morning because my flight through Atlanta, which was scheduled for tonight, was canceled 3 days ago, and they couldn't get me a flight out today. I didn't think I was going to be here today because they said they'd try to get me one this morning, and they couldn't.
Why don't you try to get a flight that doesn't go through Atlanta, like goes to Fort Lauderdale or West Palm?
No one thought of that. I'll have to – the Fox Travel Office, I'll have to – call and scream at someone. They probably hadn't thought of that.
Well, it seems like kind of a logical thing.
They couldn't get a flight.
Man, I fit to be flying nonstop to Fort Lauderdale today.
See, you got a flight, didn't you?
Well, I mean, I work for Inside STL. We have a little bit more money in the kitty than Rupert Murdoch.
And even when flights are filled up, you tell them who you're with. They go, oh, you know what? We just found a couple seats.
Yeah. Oh, you had Mr. Gary on this morning from Them Yo People? Here,
what?
Let me give you a spot.
Have to get blessed.
In A16.
That works at hotels, too. If you ever go into a nice hotel and they say, sorry, we're booked up, if you come up with some money, they find rooms. I've seen that with my own eyes.
You've done it?
No.
Here's a five.
You and Walter Payton ballroom danced.
Here's a little
That was
fiver.
Different.
Now, also, you have put your staff up in a five-star.
I actually have.
I'm staying at a place, I don't even know where it's located. It's called the Filthy Linens Inn.
Oh, yeah. They've had a roach problem there for years.
That's down Delray Beachway.
Mm-hmm. And then last year I stayed at a little place. It was cute, but it was called the Stained Mattress.
Bed and breakfast?
Yeah.
Nice. Do you care if your mattress is stained? I mean, there's sheets.
I don't want to look.
Probably better off not looking. Or have one of those black lights that would show.
We've talked about it before, but anytime I think about hotels and what could be in that room, I think of the people that mindlessly fix themselves a cup of Joe in the morning off that coffee pot that's been sitting there that you have no idea what people have done to that thing, and they think, probably safe.
Maybe they clean it before they do.
Have you ever seen the stories on how they even clean the glasses in some hotels?
No.
They take one sitting there, they rinse it under water and stick the little paper top on it and put it back.
Mm. Doug.
I had a furball there. Well, a little bacteria won't hurt you none. Humans have been living with bacteria around them for hundreds of thousands of years.
I think that's correct. The world is only 6,000 years old. Nice knowledge. Yikes.
Well, hello. I think this is even happens to be Darwin's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. He and Abe Lincoln born the same day.
Think about it.
Yeah. Boy, that's one that you really have to stop and ponder.
Oh, the cat. I just see you tweeted in the middle of the show. That you're in the C group?
No, I try to avoid the C group.
Oh.
I said I feel like I came in this morning and loaded up the iPad, and my phone so I could hit check-in at the exact moment of my flight so as not to get a C group. And I said the drama is much like a figure skater waiting for their scores to post to see if you avoided the C group.
Yeah, I checked in yesterday right at the time of my flight, and I still was a B group. Tell you what, I'm furious about it.
You'll still get a window.
I like aisle.
I like aisle, too.
You'll get leg
rooms. Let me tell you, here's my strategy. You want to know my strategy?
Yeah, sure.
I take the aisle. Anna Marie sits in the middle. If I sit in a window, all right, if I sit in a window, and then she's a tiny little brood, my wife is, and she's in the middle seat, then a heavy person will then sit in the aisle. What we do is I sit in the aisle. I'm a little twink, you know?
Yeah. And then wisp of a man.
That's right.
And kind
of
hairless.
And she's in the middle seat. The burly person will not feel comfortable going past us to get to the window seat. We keep them out, yo. It's discrimination.
Can I ask you, I know we have to break, but someone tweeted at me, you're new to Twitter, which I am, and I'm probably not going to be good at it. Here's a friendly tip. Airport tweeting isn't acceptable.
Who tweeted that?
Says I'm sure who?
This guy's tough.
Okay. You tweet about whatever you want to tweet about.
Oh, I thought there. Look, I'm new.
There's no rules.
Maybe there's my faux pas.
Hashtag wheels up before you leave, though.
Yeah, you should say that just as you go.
I have no idea who he is.
Don't let this guy impose his will on your tweets.
Oh, I don't think it was mean-spirited. I thought he said it was friendly advice. I thought maybe there's some Twitter.
Is this a gentleman you know?
No.
That's
I don't think I know him. It's hard to know by a name and a letter.
You don't tweet about airplanes. Is that what he said?
Airport tweeting isn't acceptable.
Says who?
All right. I didn't know. I'm new.
Okay.
I'm new.
All right, we got a break. Mr. Gary coming up. Plus, we have the drawing for our big grand prize from yesterday's remote all day long. Bass Pro Shops for the sampling of Bush signature that comes up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 920 and inside STL.com.